working in the lab late one night, when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster.
Tonight, if you wanna know why, just because I'm the time and you look fine. Press my back against the door of the future radio. When the heat wave comes, us can't melt. How hot we felt. But I still believe in my New York City. Lots to do, and my thoughts are pretty. Can't believe I've been gone so long. We can turn it on, just play.
We are back in the studio. This is DJ Jill Yum for B-Teens Radio, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I have two very special guests. Guests, would you like to introduce yourselves?
You're the special one.
Okay.
That's me. Hi, I'm Jay.
And I'm Allie.
Anything else to say? Mood name.
Mood. If I were to describe my mood in anything right now, it would be the coffee that I had this morning, which was an oatmeal cappuccino with 4 shots of espresso in it.
Hashtag mood. How about you?
Today feels like 2 songs. Actually, there's a whole crop of songs. Maybe we can discuss this, but it feels like Every Day is Like Sunday by Morrissey, and it always feels like, and it also feels like Why Are Sundays So Depressing by The Strokes. I wouldn't say depressing. I'm just very tired today, and it's very gray outside.
Well, on a more upbeat note,
Okay.
Sunday morning, my Margot Gergen.
Exactly.
Also has the word Sunday in it. Yeah. Not
Sunday
that it feels like
very
my mood, but
divisive day.
Yeah. Well, that it's funny because the like Spotify algorithm generated playlists are like there's like happy Sunday morning and then there's like Sunday gloomy.
Sunday
sad.
Scaries.
Yeah.
Sunday
yeah.
Scaries.
So it's really everyone knows what a Sunday feels like.
No one's talking about like Wednesday in this way or Tuesday.
No, it's the only thing we have in common with like that's the only TGIF. Universal subjectivity is like the feeling of Sunday.
It's like hump day, TGIF, and then Sundays are depressing.
So true.
Yeah. well, you can't forget about Friday.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
like
many Fridays.
TGIF,
but Rebecca Black.
I recently went to TGIF, but
you
not
did?
Really on purpose. Yeah.
Why?
Because I was supposed to go, I went to Boston to see a friend,
mm-hmm.
and we were supposed to go to a pizza place, and it was closed. So then we ended up going to TGI's, and it was like a terrible experience.
Was that like the only alternative?
Yeah, I guess so. Boston doesn't really have too many options.
Either
I
pizza
guess.
Or TGI.
Well,
right
I'm
is.
A big fan of Taco Bell Cantina. That's in Boston. It's right across the street from the BU Arts Building, Fine Arts Building, which is a very nice looking building. They have really good fine arts facilities. But also
the Cantina does.
No.
BU Cantina.
But Taco Bell Cantina.
Crazy.
Taco Bell Cantina. It's crazy in there.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen like a beautiful Taco Bell Cantina in there's like one in LA that like overlooks
beach.
A
beach
or something. My friend went to it this summer.
Well, this one doesn't overlook a beach, but I will say every time you go, it's like a core memory experience of this is what Taco Bell should be like.
Do you guys have core memory like a very deeply embedded core memory from a fast food place?
Yes.
Yes. My little brother threw up into a Wendy's Frosty cup
ew.
Once. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Ew, ew, ew.
So I
would never be able to
anymore.
Have a... Yeah, Frosty.
Wow.
It's a similar texture, too.
Oh, don't say that.
But it was very right. tidy. It, we would call him the tidy puker because he didn't...
Oh,
it just
God.
It was right in the cup and we just threw it out. So fast
horrible.
Food in and out.
Yeah.
Oh,
that,
no.
That's,
yeah.
Wow.
What else?
That's pretty gross.
I don't really have any positive fast food experiences. It's ranged from like really bad to just decent.
Mm-hmm.
I never, I don't know. I never feel like it's like, oh, that was, other than when I went to In-N-Out Burger for the first time, I was like, okay, this is good.
Yeah.
I love In-N-Out. I miss In-N-Out.
I just don't really like it that much. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Like Shake Shack is just objectively better.
Yeah.
But
this is true.
But the sauce. It's
sauce.
So yummy.
Yeah.
But
I don't
I
know.
Say
it
their
was
fries
so
are
fine.
Gross.
Yeah.
But I
Wendy's
just,
fries are the best.
I have That's such core memories of going through the drive-thru with all my friends and getting vanilla milkshakes and french fries and double doubles and eating them and getting everything all over our fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah. I didn't have that experience,
Can we do ASMR on your show today?
No, thanks.
Wait, I have a funny fast food story.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was little, I used to road trip every year from Chicago to Toronto. Well, every year, I mean for like 3 years, because that was how long I lived in Chicago for.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way, there was one of the McDonald's that had a playground in it.
Mecca.
So
insane.
Shangri-La.
We would only eat fast food once a year. I didn't eat fast food growing up at all, except for this one McDonald's that I went to for 3 years every summer when we would road trip to Toronto. And so for the longest time when I was a kid, I thought that every fast food restaurant had to have like a playground in it. And was so confused when I was like six and went to a different fast food restaurant for the first time. And I was like,
where's the swing
where's
set in this
playground?
Burger King?
Where's the slide? I thought fast food was meant to be fast.
Where's the really sticky slide?
Exactly.
Yeah. Those things are like really gross when you think about them.
They're so disgusting.
But they were so, so fun.
They were so fun.
Yeah. I wish, bring back fast food playgrounds.
Honestly, bring back playgrounds.
TBH. Honestly, what is going on with the state of our playgrounds?
Yeah. Do you remember the Chuck E. Cheese playgrounds? Did you ever go to those?
Yep.
Yeah. I was big on Chuck E. Cheese.
Me too.
Chester. Mm-hmm. Chester M. Cheese.
Right? No, Chester, Chester E. The E's for entertainment. E.
Chester yeah. Entertainment Cheese.
I only went once when I was little, but I loved climbing on the rope things.
Mm. Yep. I was big on the like shooting games.
Shooting
games. I don't know.
Yeah. There was this one where it's actually a really weird game to have in a children's arcade, but it was like the shooting things, but with like a fire hose. It was like you had to put out a fire.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, the laser
tag. The consequences of that, like, whoa, yeah, you lot, game over.
Speaking
entire
of
condominium burned down.
Well, that must give you a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Well, that would give you a lot of anxiety. And also, us overthinking all of these things that we used to do
really
is giving
anxious.
Me anxiety, which means that we should probably play this song. That happens to be called Anxiety, or Anxious, I'm sorry. And it also happens to be a bonus track on the new Carly Rae Jepsen album, which you also heard another song from at the top of the hour called Shooting Star. It's a great album.
Well, Shooting Star, these were our Shooting Star core memories, and now we're getting anxious about them.
Whoa.
What a storyteller we are.
We're weaving a tapestry on this Bean Tunes.
Yeah. No, you're in for a great episode. One which has been very planned.
Yeah. Not freeform, actually. We're anti-freeform here.
Linear.
Yeah, exactly.
Linear radio.
Yeah.
Alrighty then. This one is called Anxious, and it's a bonus track off the album The Loneliest Time. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Hello, we're back. That was Grins by Charlie XCX. We're going to discuss something super important, which is, what is your favorite pop song lyric that you can remember? Sorry, I'm just throwing this on you.
Wow.
But if it's really that important to you, it would come to mind.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying not to think, just to let it come to me. Okay, I have like a hip hop one.
Okay, real, close enough.
Okay, I think it's Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Real G's Move in Silence Like Lasagna.
Okay. Oh,
that's pretty good.
But oh, I mean, if we're talking about like favorite like rap lyrics, Tommy,
I guess that's different than pop because rap is all one liners.
Exactly, right. Like Tommy Cash goes, "You're always on my mind like my password."
Genius.
In his song Pro Rap Superstar, which is just so implanted into my brain. But
imagine,
I mean, if we're talking about pop songs, I think Caroline Polachek writes really lovely lyrics. Oh my god,
like pop,
I can't
pop.
Absolutely remember, but I will pull one up right now.
You know what? Because I'm a big Kacey Musgraves fan, I feel like I usually like the lyrics that are just like so to the point that it's painful. I really like.
I don't find myself listening to pop music regularly, and when I do, I'm listening to the production, not the lyrics.
Yeah.
I just Caroline Polachek. Okay, so in Insomnia by Caroline Polachek, she writes, "Dreams of dried fields that were once green, burnt by someone just like me. Come dawn, come day, come half awake. Come blue, come gray, come waves that break. And it's not enough, no reply, no relief."
Is that pop?
Hold
I feel
on.
Like just by like that complexity, it's not pop.
You could read that at Sync Open Mic Night and people would cry. Like,
I know.
So true.
I think she's
amazing. A genius. She's a genius.
I'm like the biggest Caroline Polachek.
Yeah. Well, I had like a huge quarantine Caroline Polachek phase, and like I would bike and listen to like Caroline Polachek, and I would just like I don't know what it was, but it like that was the only thing I could listen to in early quarantine.
Yeah.
Like as soon as we went into lockdown.
Yeah. The only listening party like in air quotes that I've ever been to is me and my two best friends in high school when Bunny Is a Writer came out, like lying on my friend's floor listening to it on repeat, because that song is like amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Vampire Weekend has a lot of good ones, especially on Contra.
But I wouldn't call that pop. Because she is pop. She's experimental
pop.
She's art pop. Okay. Like, that's her genre.
Oh, right. Speaking of art pop, Lady Gaga's seminal 2014.
Great album.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a crazy
Venus
album.
Venus is amazing.
It's like, I wouldn't say it's ahead of its time. I'm just deflecting from the fact that I can't remember any pop lyrics right now.
I don't think either of you know this about me, but I was in high school, we would listen to a lot. My friends and I listened to a lot of Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
We listened to a lot of art pop.
Huh. I was not a Lady Gaga fan.
Me neither, surprisingly.
Gaga.
What is Gaga?
But like,
oh yeah, what
does she know about cameras?
Yeah, apparently she owns Polaroid, or
she's like a board member.
That's pretty so crazy. That's so hashtag mood. Hashtag Sunday mood.
My mood today is like 2012 internet, like Pinterest and like the Chevron. Pattern.
Someone was showing me
Bo Burnham, like, you know, the white girl's Instagram, like that aesthetic.
Yeah.
Or like back when the Instagram was like an actual Polaroid, like that icon was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm feeling very that.
Right. Someone was showing me starter pack from We Heart It, like,
mm-hmm.
Which was like another one of those Pinterest things. And it was like the dark version of that aesthetic, and it was like black lipstick,
mm-hmm.
and like
the A-line mini skirts that are black, mm-hmm. like the circle skirts. Yeah,
exactly. And I don't know what came over me, but I just was like washed over with like a feeling of like it just was
like
wow,
Hot Topic.
Yeah,
the oversized adjacent. Zip up hoodies that have cat ears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Those.
Yeah.
And like a candle.
The platform high heeled Timberlands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder. Okay. Think of the idea of starter packs. Did they have that before? Because there's definitely like
groups of characteristics.
That's what magazine catalogs were in a way, I think.
Yeah. Have you seen those magazine spreads that are like, buy all of these products for this vibe?
Yeah.
I guess so.
I feel like that's the original format.
I would love to trace back the history of Starter Books. Seriously, I think it's real, and the fact that it can be so specific and it can evoke such a deep emotion. Sometimes I see those and like you just get washed over with like.
Well, I think the more interesting thing is, when did culture become so associated with like 5 specific items of clothing versus starter packs in general? Because starter packs are always a response
about, like,
to that.
Think about like in the 50s and 60s, there was the jocks and the nerd. Think about like all the canonized
American. Yeah, but those
American
things didn't have starter packs to the same extent.
No, but you could make one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe. Like,
but they,
you know,
they didn't.
Yeah, I think that norms are more regional back then than national or international. Mm-hmm. Like, it comes with rise with the internet that you're able to group subcultures into specific, like 5 specific items.
So I think it's hand in hand.
Yeah, but what was I going to say? I had something to say and I totally forgot it. Oh, my mood today is, do you remember when people on Twitter for like 2 days were making memes of Winotrix Point Never's R+7 album cover?
No,
yes.
I don't remember
okay,
this.
Okay, that's my mood.
Okay, those two... Like November 11th to 15th.
From like 2 to 3. 2 years ago, about a year ago, 2 years ago.
Okay.
That's specifically my
that favorite. Time period.
So yeah, good. Just.
How are we going to the next one?
So this next one is from. How are we going to introduce this person?
Who is this person?
This one.
Oh.
So.
Let's think.
Oh, I have some... Oh. Okay, so when I was in high school, I was really obsessed with this book, right? Mm-hmm. Because my photo teacher showed it to me. And the book was called Grapefruit, a book of instructions and drawings by Yoko Ono. This book is amazing, like genuinely amazing. Mm-hmm. It's very Fluxist movement in a way where she's giving you a list of prompts and like your point is just respond to them. So I can't remember any off the top of my head, but they're like very inspirational when you're in like 10th grade and you're like, oh my God, Sophie Cal is the most insane artist in the entire world. Not that I don't love Sophie Cal, absolutely, but you know, you read that and you go, oh, I can do that too. And then you make your horrible little photo projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Yoko Ono also liked to do this thing where she just made synth pop for a moment.
So that's where we're going. We've taken you sort of, you know, on a whole trip so far, and now we're taking you on a trip to walk on thin ice.
Yes. Don't actually do this, but yeah.
Stay tuned because we're gonna give our best Yoko Ono impressions after.
Oh no, we're not
at the quarter hour.
Stay on the edge of your seat because it's coming soon.
It's coming at 5:30, so you actually have to wait another hour.
Yeah,
the person after us is gonna be doing Yoko Ono
for
impressions.
The entire hour. That's how you should listen to the next hour of radio.
Yeah, not including the next half hour though. The hour from 5 to 6.
Right.
It's only Yoko Ono impression.
Okay, this is Walking on Thin Ice by Yoko Ono.
Throwing the dice in the air. Why must we learn it the hard way? And play the game of life with your heart. Play the game of life with a heart.
tried to walk across the lake. Of course, it was winter. And all this was ice. That's a hell of a thing to do, you know. They say this lake is as big as the ocean, as big as the ocean, as big as the ocean, as big as the ocean.
Put it out of your mind. Give it time. Fine and purple, the purest gold, of the sacred heart, the gray of the ghost, the L of the lips are open to the O of the host, the V of the velvet.
We are back, just in time for us to read a PSA. Jake, take it away.
All right, so here at the station, we have a big old binder. You can hear the heft of it. That's the binder.
That's hefty.
Full of PSAs that we can read. I've actually gone this far through it, but... Sorry, excuse my chair. The very last page is... a PSA from the Advertising Council Incorporated, about, it's entitled Generous Nation. On any given night, Joe Roberts camps out on a cold street corner in a major metropolitan city. Tonight, some people almost brought Joe something to eat. Someone else almost drove him to a shelter, and another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Joe Roberts, well, he almost made it through the night. As generous as a nation as we are, sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But almost giving is the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Find out how you could help, visit don'talmostgive.org. A message brought to you by the Ad Council.
That sounds so real.
Wow. Where's the discourse about almost doing things?
That's giving, almost giving.
That's almost capitalism.
It's almost giving capitalism.
That was the very last one in this giant binder. I've never seen that, but I can see why that's the last one. That's not a very convincing case. Just give to homeless people.
Yeah. All right. We're going to keep this show going. Keep this
next one's a banger. This one's next one is to make me wake up.
Yeah, we're all very sleepy. I think kind of fell into a... There's a nice AC white noise thing happening in here, and it's really, like, lulling me to sleep. And we're all very underslept. Or Allie's not. Allie slept 12 hours. Which is
so she also tired. Finished half of this crossword.
Her word recall is so crazy because she slept 12 hours. No? Okay, never mind. Anyway, this next song is called No Tony, and it's by Mr. Wazo.
Wah.
No English today. Sono DOC, made in Italy. Mi chiamo Fra, metto i dischi, non faccio l'MC. Sto chiuso in studio in compagnia di 10 synth. C'ho lo stile in produzione come Fendi. No English today. Ma perché te la prendi? No English. Cosa intendi, cosa intendi? Io sul beat insieme a Quenti. Sciariamoci la pizza, sciariamoci i dividendi. No. No pizza e peperoni, c'ho stile quando ballo in console, chiamami Tony. No Tony today. Con i Rolex battoni, le mega hit interplanetarie con tre suoni. E suono proprio tutto, il pianoforte, il sax di brutto. E parlo quando ruto, mi rotolo nel fango tutto fatto come a Woodstock. Sì, no English today. No Tony today. We'll be right back.
scanning.
Hello. Thank you so much for listening for the past hour. We are approaching the very end of the show, so we have one last little song for you.
Oh, what song is our last song?
It's going to be a Magbay song.
Ooh.
Naturally. Naturally.
Which one?
Dawning of the Season. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Allie, any last words?
Well, I think it's really fitting that we started with Carly Rae Jepsen and closed with Magdalena Bay, because obviously I am the number one Carly Rae Jepsen fan in like the entire world, so I think that they're better, and I think that everyone else is just derivative of her. Like every pop music since then, other than PC music, is just riffing off of her and Robin.
Exactly.
But that's so not important, because what I was going to say is Carly Rae Jepsen is Magbay for millennials and Magbay is Carly Rae Jepsen for Gen Z.
Which is the most important thing that we decided this week.
Yeah, that was like my big mind-blowing realization. So anyways.
Huge for us.
Yeah.
Okay, this is...
Nice day.
Yeah. This is Jill Yum with Bean Teens Radio, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
And tune in tomorrow at 8 p.m. for Sauerkraut, where it will be the two of us again having enlightening discussions.
So true. All right. Peace.
Peace out.
Five tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.